And I invite you to turn in the Gospel of Matthew to two passages, Matthew 6 and Matthew 18. And Matthew 6 is the Lord's Prayer, which is what we're focusing on. Matthew 18 is a wonderful parable that Jesus teaches us about forgiveness. Where we're at. Last time, a few weeks ago, we looked at the fourth petition, which is Jesus teaching us to pray for our daily provision, for our physical needs. And now this morning, we're going to look at the next petition, which is the one about forgiveness. This is a petition that is really about our spiritual needs. This is about what we need, which is to receive forgiveness and to give forgiveness. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Before we look at God's Word, though, we have been looking at what the Catechism has to teach us, what we profess together about what we believe in this petition. And I'll read the question and invite you to read the answer with me this morning. What does the fifth request mean? Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do, or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. So this is the fifth petition. As I mentioned, this is God wanting and needing to take care of our spiritual need. And that is not only the need for forgiveness, that we need to receive it, but as we're going to see this morning, and as the Catechism tells us, and as we say in the prayer, it is also the spiritual need of forgiving others. And both of these are critical realities of discipleship. And sometimes, as I'll mention later, it's a tool or a resource that we don't tap into enough as followers of Jesus. If we miss either of these, we're missing something very vital to our spiritual well-being as followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll see as we also open God's Word. But before we do, join me in prayer once again. Father in heaven, we pray that through the power and indwelling of your Holy Spirit, you would speak so clearly to us that we would leave this place better equipped to follow Jesus. Do this, O God, as your Word is read, as it is proclaimed, and as your Spirit is at work, doing this imprinting upon our hearts and souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Our first passage, Matthew 6, 9, 13, is the Lord's Prayer, and we begin with these words. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. And this morning we're looking at this one. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And our second passage is Matthew 18. This is a parable that Jesus gives in response to Peter's question. We begin here. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, be like billions of dollars, really, 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. As we look at the fifth petition this morning, I want to actually go back to something that we heard early on in this series, and it's particularly how it answered the question, how should we pray, or even more specifically, who do we pray to? Because if we're going to understand this petition well, it's very important we understand the relational avenue by which God invites us into a posture of prayer. Early on in the series, we talked about how Jesus is going to teach us all these priorities about prayer. We're looking at the fifth of them this morning. But in the midst of that, he reminds us that when we pray, we have this immense spiritual privilege. You see, we have access to our Father. We have access to our Father in heaven. This is something I wish in my own spiritual journey I had a deeper sense of in my prayer journey. This is such an immeasurable gift. As I said early in the series, only Jesus' disciples know God as Father. Otherwise, they know him as Judge. But you see, the prayer is a relational prayer in which we come to him as our Father in heaven. And practically speaking, that means we get to do, Ian, why don't you just go back? It seems the computer program didn't download any of my sermon outline. Just go back to the main screen. Sorry for that. Maybe it's just part of me being sick. I don't know. But what the screen would have said is from Hebrews chapter 10, in which this is what we get to do. I mean, again, the spiritual privilege thing. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, it says we get to draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. This is how Christ would have us come to the Father when we pray, with a sincere heart, which is full of assurance of faith. In other words, the posture, and this is so important to understanding this fifth petition, the posture of our heart is very important. Number one, we have access. That's clear. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. It's an immense spiritual privilege. But that privilege should also shape how we come to the Father so that we have a sincere or a pure heart, says the psalmist. And that's why we need the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The priority that Jesus is teaching us in this prayer is that truth and transparency are vital to the posture of our hearts before our Father in heaven. For us to both receive forgiveness and also to give forgiveness. But let's look at those in order. First of all, we have our need. We have a need to receive forgiveness. In many ways, as I said at the start, this is one of the most overlooked aspects of Christian discipleship. At this point, someone might say, "Well, hey, Pastor, aren't all my sins, past, present, and future, already forgiven? Why does Jesus teach us to pray daily, frequently, forgive us our debts?" Not just once again, but all the time. If all my sins are forgiven. Well, three basic things to say about that. First of all, we're still sinners. We still sin. Second, Paul says very clearly in the New Testament, our calling in Christ is to put to death our old nature, which means we still have that in us, our sinful nature, and we have to constantly fight against it. So there, our need for forgiveness is there. And the third is, well, because of that, we have debts. We have debts, and God would look at us, and we're never debtors, never not debtors, toward him. But this gets back to the relationship thing again. When we pray, we're coming to God not as judge, but as our Father in heaven. As judge, we stand before God no longer condemned. Romans 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We stand no longer condemned because of the cross of Jesus. So in a legal sense, the debt of our sin is paid. This is what it means to be justified. But in the Lord's Prayer, again, we're not coming to God as judge. We're coming to him as our Father. And when you and I, when we look at our life, how we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in this past week, maybe even this morning, Jesus is recognizing how spiritually essential it is for us, our need for forgiveness. And that's why this confession of sin, Jesus says, is to be a daily act. We've not loved the God who loves us as we ought. We've sinned with our eyes, with our minds, with our tongues, with our hands. And if the Holy Spirit is working and our conscience is working, we know this. We know this need for God's forgiveness. So that with a sincere heart, as we profess in the Catechism, we pray to God, please do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. So you see, our spiritual need truly is for God's forgiveness, not as judge, but as our Father. And as you hear that this morning, I want us to know this is such a wonderful, radical invitation from Jesus. Because it means that as we walk with Jesus in this life, it means that not only can I, through the Holy Spirit, see my sin clearly, but through that same Holy Spirit, I can come in true repentance. I can confess all of my sin in the assurance that my Father in heaven is eager to forgive, and my Father in heaven will forgive me over and over when genuine repentance is the posture of a sincere heart. Not as the judge do I come to him. I stand forgiven for all that could condemn me. But as my Father in heaven, I come to him and I say, Father, forgive me for where I've fallen short. And I need to do that daily. And the joy of that relationship is the promise that the gospel gives to all who hear it again this morning. The joy of that relation says, man, when I come in confession, 1 John 1 verse 9, because I know I have sin in my heart, I can be assured that God forgives. Every day, this is how God wants us to come to him as our Father in heaven. He wants us to come to him in a posture of confession, in a posture of genuine repentance because of maybe the harsh word that we've spoken, or the lie that we told, or when lust perverted what God has intended for good, or every time, because this is a definition of idolatry, when we take a good thing and make it a God thing, every time we do that, God would have us come to him and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive us, says Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. So the key there is we need it, and God is gracious, and we know him as our Father. And the invitation is, let's embrace this well. We do this corporately. We need to do it individually. We need to come because we are still not debtors in a justification reality, but debtors in a sanctification journey. And we need God's daily grace. Of course, this isn't all Jesus says, is it? He goes on to say, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And let's look at our passage this morning, Matthew 18. Peter asked Jesus, well, how many times should I forgive? How many times? And he generously, and you need to understand this from the biblical story, this is Peter being very generous. He says, up to seven times? You see, in Jewish law in that day, to forgive three times was considered exceedingly generous, four unnecessary. And Peter would have been grown up in that Jewish culture and trained in the synagogue, and he probably thought he was offering something incredibly generous to Jesus. How about seven times, Jesus? And to paraphrase Jesus' answer, he basically says to Peter, oh, you're not going to believe this. Not just seven times, but 77, which in other words means there is no limit. There is no limit to how we are to forgive others. If you're counting, it doesn't count. If you're keeping track or score, you need to let that go. And to be honest, even as we hear the parable again this morning, there's something inside of us that kicks in. Something very strong in us, because limitless forgiveness sounds like too much, which is an odd thing to say considering how much God has forgiven us. But Jesus gives a parable and it stirs something in us. And so he tells this parable about this unmerciful servant. And I'll tell you, sometimes parables are hard to understand, but if you miss the meaning of this parable, just read it again. Because it's very clear. It's really hard to ignore the obvious point. And it's this: forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. Or let me put it this way, which I think is probably going to create even a higher level of discomfort in you and me, but I think it's true. Only the forgiving are forgiven. It's not just forgiven people forgive, but only the forgiving understand what it means to be forgiven. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this parable. Why? Why is there such a strong connection between being forgiven and forgiving? Well, it's because forgiveness is a defining mark of a follower of Jesus. We have been forgiven. And knowing this, which is what Jesus is teaching in this parable, knowing we have been forgiven far more than we deserve. The parable talks about 10,000 talents. I made this little side comment about billions. I mean, it's a metaphor of an exceedingly abundantly great amount that nobody could ever pay. That's how much we've been forgiven. And knowing that, a refusal to forgive our brother, our spouse, our neighbor, our sister, our work coworker, this is the posture, a refusal to forgive, which is what the unmerciful servant does here in this parable. If we refuse to forgive, if we hold on to grudges, if we cultivate hate toward those who have hurt us or sinned against us, Jesus is saying, but Jesus is saying that is showing that your heart is hard or resistant to the grace that God has given you. Only the forgiving are forgiven. Now, let's be clear, and I had this really cool slide prepared for you on this. There are some ways in which we have to understand that this doesn't apply as well. It's important to be pastoral in this moment, and I'll say three quick ones. What does this mean? Well, it doesn't mean the absence of consequences. If our child, for example, lies, there are still consequences that come to that child, even though they ask for forgiveness. They're still grounded, but our grace is there for them. There are still consequences. In some cases, to put this on a corporate level, church discipline is needed. If somebody sins and they refuse to repent, and you can see this earlier in Matthew chapter 16 and 18. So forgiveness does not mean automatically the absence of consequences. Here's a second one. Forgiveness does not mean we automatically reconcile with the person who sinned against us. There are cases in which there is harm, and where real harm exists, or where the offense is so great, such as abuse, reconciliation, restoration are not automatic. Sometimes they might even be impossible. See, forgiveness does not mean automatically that you're reconciled. And the third one I'll say is this: forgiveness does not always mean forgetting. It doesn't always mean forgetting, because where trust is broken, and I think of a marriage relationship or a business partnership or something, where trust is broken, it would be unwise to downplay that part of the sin. We can forgive, but not necessarily forget or automatically trust that person. I could say a lot more, but those are just three sort of scenarios or reasons why what forgiveness doesn't mean. But the point of the parable is that when the circumstances are clear, when there's a repentant heart from the person coming to us, sometimes even when there isn't, but what Jesus is saying is that forgiveness is needed because it's that obvious. Or to put this another way, how tragic, and this might be you this morning, or you know somebody who is a follower of Jesus, but you know this, how tragic it would be to be forgiven so much, because we are justified and declared righteous in Jesus Christ, and then withhold mercy to a fellow sinner. Whether or not they're repentant, it doesn't really matter ultimately, but to withhold it, to be like this unmerciful servant in the parable and just get belligerent about it in light of the fact they've been forgiven so much. How sad that would be. Forgiven people, forgiven children of God, forgive. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here in this prayer. So important is this for our spiritual needs, for our spiritual health. Not only do we need to ask to receive forgiveness from God, we should be praying for the need to give it to those around us. Not because it's going to make us feel better, but I do believe it will. I'll say forgiveness is not about a feeling. That's just a lot of misguided pop psychology in our culture today. I know I've said this before, but I've read this where people say, I don't know if I'm forgiven because I don't feel forgiven. Balderdash on that. The gospel of Jesus Christ says if your sins are forgiven, you're forgiven, whether you feel like it or not. And I don't want to be too insensitive there, but that's the grace of God in our hearts and life. Now, as for how it works with everything else around us, please don't base forgiveness on feeling. Look at the fact of it. When it's come, when it comes to you, when you give it, receive it just as it is. We forgive because we have an understanding of what it means to be forgiven. God's sheer grace. It means I don't have to get revenge. I don't have to get even, because the spiritual consequences of a bitter heart are awful. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Never would I say that. Every one of us has experienced hurts. I have my own, some of which I daily have to ask for the strength to forgive. We've all been there. But resentment only makes us miserable. It robs us of joy. It steals us of peace. And all of this is why Jesus says, pray this prayer. Make this your priority. Truth and transparency, not only with your God in heaven, but with those around you. Father, forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's a priority of truthfulness. It's a priority of transparency, because that's our spiritual need. Not only for that forgiveness we need to receive again, but what we need to give away. In the end, ultimately, because we have to point to Jesus, right? In the end, the petition brings us to the cross of Christ. Back to our only comfort in life and in death. Because we recognize that in Christ, I am no longer condemned. But my need for God's grace remains. And so help me, O God, to practice daily repentance in light of the cross. Help me to practice daily forgiveness in light of the cross. I pray this prayer. We pray this prayer. Not because we are sinless, But because, as we will celebrate in just a moment, because the sinless one cried out at the cross, paid in full. All my sin have been paid for once and for all at the cross. And now Jesus says, but now let's talk about spiritual health. Pray to God for forgiveness. Pray to forgive others around you. Do this for your spiritual well-being as you seek to follow Jesus Christ, understanding the cost it would be to hold the grudges, to hold the hurts, to hold it all in, and above all, to hold it from God when you know your need. Father, Jesus says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I pray the grace that Jesus gives will be a daily practice for us in all of this, so that with truth and transparency, we come to the cross with a sincere heart, recognizing our need. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it truly is a delight to know this grace again, to be reminded of the wonders of the cross. And now, oh God, as we come to the table of our Lord, we pray you will remind us again that you want sincere hearts, those who have confessed their sins to you, and those who have sought forgiveness and given it freely to those around us. If that's a work that needs to begin anew in us today, do that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be refreshed in our walk with Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.